everybody, and welcome to another episode of Midwest Magic. I am your host, Chris Kulo, and with me, as always, Kyle Lewis. Kyle Lewis, how are you this week?
I'm doing splendid. How are you?
I am doing just fine. So, we are Midwest Magic, and what we seek to do here is give you a Midwest perspective on Magic the Gathering. And joining us today to accomplish that most noble goal is fellow Ohio Magic player and known nihilist, Brian.
Thank you for that wonderful intro, Chris K. I'm glad you got that out there. Nihilism is really something everyone should experience in life.
I agree.
When I was in college, I used to experiment with nihilism a little bit, but now that I'm an adult, I really feel like, you know, when it gets to be like, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, it's just like, man, I just sort of want to settle down and believe in something, you know?
Yeah, when it's getting past, you know, 8 o'clock in your life, you know, those final hours, you're just really thinking, God, I wish there was something to hang on to. It could really just lull me to sleep.
Yeah.
Just really tether me to this reality. So, we're bringing Brian along for the ride with us this week. We want to give a thank you to all of our listeners out there. You know, we're doing this for all of you, and we want to thank you for continuing to send in questions for What's the Play. That's really awesome. And also for subscribing and reviewing our podcast. That is of most important.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of dive right into this. This is kind of the lame duck period, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, that's a good word for it. The Pro Tour hasn't happened yet. Our elder gods have not taught us how to play Standard yet. So everyone's just sort of like flailing. Everybody's like an infant baby. It's just like babies fighting.
Yeah, you turn on Twitch, go to Magic, just babies. Just webcams on babies fighting.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of drafting.
And a lot of drafting.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. This is a good time to, like, draft.
I like the draft format.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet. You know, just as we were saying, like, a couple weeks ago, Magic content creators, like, we love preview season, but then we get, you know, we're just lousy with content, and then we have, like, this 2-week period where, yeah, we're just talking about babies.
Yeah. It's the knee-jerk season.
Yes. So with that in mind, you know, this kind of lame duck period, we've already had, you know, we've already had two tournaments, you know, higher profile. They've, you know, been cast on Twitch, and that's more to say for most GPs from Wizards. But we kind of have a taste of the Standard metagame, and is it broke, yo?
I think definitively no. I don't think Bant Company is broken. I think, here's what I think happened. I think Bant Company was the best deck going into Eldritch Moon. It got at least one obviously insane card in Spellqueller. And Selfless Spirit also happened to be very good. Not everybody knew that week one. The number of Bant Company decks that made day two of the first Star City was a million. And then day two, and then so in the second Star City, a million people played Bant Company because it's just like the correct thing to do. It's like, I don't know what to do. If I play Bant Company, there's like a functionally 0% chance that I'll be wrong. Like if I play really tight, I can very realistically perform well in the tournament. And so people did that, and the format was not able to evolve within the span of a week because all the pros are testing for the Pro Tour. Like, the best minds are not on the case. People are basically just being mimetic. And it's normal and natural, but I would not say that Bant Company is broke by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, it's tough. Brian, any thoughts on Bant Company, what you've seen?
It's an interesting argument. It's not broken. I think it's a little oppressive because if everyone was just rolling with the status quo, as you say, I think we'd be seeing a lot more green-white tokens because that's a deck that changed very little, and that's a deck that was very powerful before. But as you can see from the results and who's playing what, it's a rare deck to see, even though it took down the latest SCG.
It did, piloted by the great Osip, who played Tragic Arrogance in the main specifically to hate out the Company matchup because he's so right and smart.
Does that sound like a broken format to you?
No.
Tragic Arrogance the main?
It sounds like a solved format, because, like, he knew he was going to play against Collected Company. You play 15 rounds. He probably expected to play against it 10-plus times.
That's fair. Some of the numbers coming out of SCG Baltimore were a little staggering.
Yeah, should I pull up that chart?
And, yeah, that's... if you could find that, I'm trying to scour the almighty Twitter for that same...
It's on my thing. You'll have to scroll past, like anime pictures and Donald and like anti-Trump posts, but it's on there somewhere.
I don't know.
Here it is.
All right.
So this was the Star City Baltimore Day 2 metagame breakdown. Bant Company, 53 players. Green-White Tokens, 9. Black-White Control, 6.
Okay, can we wait? Can we pump the brakes real quick?
Sure.
I think you went a little too quick.
Okay, so Bant Company, 53. The next most played deck, 9.
Yeah, let's... we could just fuck off the rest of the stuff. like that number's outrageous to me.
Yes, it's absurd.
And... It does feel like there's this, it feels like everyone had the same sentiments that you did, Kyle, where I know if I play tight, I can, or like deluded themselves to think like, if I play tight, with this deck, I have a reasonable chance or a more reasonable chance than if I tried to brew something. Mm-hmm. Brian, you were saying, it's less of a following the status quo, and it's really just Bant Company has kind of divided itself from the rest of the field.
That's part of what I feel. I don't play a lot of standards, so I'm not going to claim to be an expert.
None of us do.
But in watching some of the SCG, it's like, you can only watch so many Bant Company mirrors before you just lose interest.
Yeah, can we just talk about that? Oh my god, watching those board stalls? I don't know, man. That's probably maybe the worst part about it.
It makes me cringy.
Yeah, like just a bunch of 2/3s hitting a bunch against a bunch of 2/3s, and now you got a Self of Spirit in the mix there, and oh god, like, who wants to do that? Who wants to do that for their tournament? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I played the matchup, like, 50 times, and, like, I had a good idea of, like, what was going on a really deep level, I would find it interesting, but as, like, someone who has never played this particular Collected Company deck, of all the Collected Company decks we've had over the past 2 years, it does not seem like a very compelling matchup to me.
Yeah, I'm usually not one to shy away from mirror matches, but, whew, right. this one, whew, no thank you.
Yeah, some of my favorite formats were mirror match based, just like Cawblade mirrors and Delver mirrors. Those were great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Any idea? So it's that lame duck period. We're waiting for the Pro Tour. So we're saying that there is hope from our elders, right? We're waiting for them to bestow some knowledge on us,
right?
So what are your predictions for the Pro Tour coming up? What do we think is going to break away?
I expect to see at least one good Liliana deck. I expect there to be multiple, at least a couple, like, variants on ways to play Liliana. I think that card's super good. Like, I expect green-black to be a deck, maybe. I think there's at least going to be something that we just totally don't expect. Like, LSV's Wrights deck in the last format. Just something totally, like, seemingly out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, like, definitely some kind of, like, control deck. Like, some maybe black-white. Like, just a really good build of black-white. Or even just, like, a really good build of, like, something control-ish. Because there's a lot of tools for that right now. I wouldn't be shocked to see, like, something things get weird. Like some sort of a merge deck, yeah. Or like a real tight build of like Brush of Tentacles.
Like they break out the glow sticks on day two or something? Like,
yeah.
They just get real weird?
It's just about to get weird, yeah.
I guess by merge deck, you don't just mean the people playing Elder Deep Fiend?
No, it could just be people playing Elder Deep. Like a good, in a good way. Like in the best way.
I think, what is it, Descented Mindbender? Breaker? One of those?
Well, yeah, the emerge guy who makes you discard two cards.
Yeah. I think he's, like, forget Elder Deep Calamari. Like, that guy's last week. Give me some, bend my mind, bro. Like,
yeah,
break it.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't totally sold on Calamari Dimashi, but, like, I do think the card is, like, really good. I don't know about, because the problem with Mindbender is it's, like, pretty cold to, like, a player who's, like, very aggressive and just plays all their cards. But, like, in certain matchups, the card's insane. Like, matchups where, like, slower matchups, the card's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like,
how many of those are there?
Well, I don't know, because, like, I think it depends on how your company game plays out. Like, mm-hmm. are they just going to be able to dump their hand immediately? Are they going to be drawing cards with Duskwatch Recruiter and cards with Tireless Tracker? And, like, are those cards just redundant at that point because they're basically all extra and free? Wouldn't they just company in response to you casting that? Like, what? Those are the sorts of questions I would have. Wouldn't you be better taking advantage of, like, the board presence and tempo that a Calamari is going to get you? But I don't know. I mean, the card is insanely powerful. It was, like, it's definitely very good in Limited. I've lost to it a couple times in Limited. And it's probably good enough for Constructed.
Definitely. Brian, what are your, do you have any predictions of the Pro Tour? What are you maybe hoping to see?
I think a lot of the players that are hoping for, like, a good control deck should watch the Pantheon. I think the Pantheon always delivers on something a little crazy, a little powerful.
Sure, yeah, they showed up with what, Seasons Past last time?
Yeah, and that was a very different deck, which kind of petered off. And obviously, when you're playing with the skill they play it with, it's a little different.
Yeah, John Finkel's pretty good.
So I hear.
Some would say.
And, like, no one has seen it before, which does matter.
That's very true. I'm more interested in what Kyle Lewis thinks of red-black vampires.
I'm not off it yet. Because, like, really, I just want that deck to be good more than, like, I feel very confident it's going to be good. I didn't tell myself that when I speculated on, like, 40 Olivia Mobilized for Wars.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I have a lot of those.
Oh, no, you didn't.
But I still think that deck could be good because the deck is full of, like, high-power creatures, and a lot of them have flying.
Uh-huh.
I think if you skew towards, like, cards with flying and high power, like, big enough to kill spirits in combat, and, like, premium removal, like, you get out of cards like Fiery Temper, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, a team came out with a really hot, like, Madness deck, like a Fiery Temper deck this weekend. I would not be shocked. Especially, like, a Christian Calcano type, who plays this janky-ass shit that he tricks me into buying during the Pro Tour, and then it's, like, garbage in a week.
Just get that fiery vampire deck.
Yeah. Fiery Temper is a hell of a magic card, and does not really see in standard play yet.
Yeah, I know. Even with the Merfolk Looter in the format, that becomes a Planeswalker.
Yeah, isn't that absurd?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I could see a Spells Matter deck making something happen, too. Because, like, I think people have been sleeping on Jace, period. Like, because, like, it's like, well, he's not in Collective Company, so he's not seeing play.
Right.
That card did not stop being utterly broken in the time that people have been like, oh, Tireless Tracker.
Well, you know, Collected Company just kind of ruins it just farts in your cereal, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a good card. It's not better than Jace. Jace is incredibly broken. Company's broken, too, but Jace is probably brokener.
So,
Yep.
What, Brian?
No, I was just making a noise at that. I'm just saying Jace is more broken than Company.
Well, I think it's true. I'll stand by that.
All right, that's fair. So, all right, top 8, Pro Tour, Eldritch Moon, Kyle, go.
Like, players or decks?
Give me decks first.
Collected Company, green-white tokens, black-white control, green-black, delirium value, some sort of white, like, some sort of small aggressive deck, a Madness deck, Crush of Tentacles, Eldergate Fiend.
Alright. Awesome. Brian, top 8 of Pro Tour Eldritch Moon. Decks, go.
I'm gonna go with 3 Company.
Uh-huh.
green-white Tokens, a Blue-White Spirits. I want to see a Mono-White Human sneak in there.
Nice.
Ronson Big Card.
Yes, Ronson Big Card.
And call it by its right name this time.
That card, I could see that deck being real.
And I think a Goggles ramp deck's going to get in there, because not enough people are focusing on it.
I do think ramp could be a thing. Going over the top of company seems like a good way to go, going into the Pro Tour.
Yeah, maybe just, like, just Ulamog them, shame them.
Dulavog.
Yeah.
Or Emrakul now. Would Emrakul be Demrakul?
I don't think that deck was.
Dulamog, Demrakul.
Dugan.
Dugan, yeah.
Dugan's Insight.
Dazilek.
You just want to Dragonlord them and just wipe the board. Feel great.
It does feel good.
Yeah. I mean, Tarka and Ulamog. I mean, there's a lot of... I'm sorry, Dulamog. There's a lot of... Yeah, I can definitely see that. Brian, I like your top eight.
I was watching Caleb's stream yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing like a black-red like sort of control-ish deck against this guy playing a deck with like Liliana's. He was like green-black Delirium, essentially. So he had like Grimflayer, and his deck basically like used Liliana and Grimflayer with a removal package to just set up for like looping Den Protector Deathmiss Raptor forever.
Sure,
and Liliana makes that like so much easier with just being able to recur creatures and such.
Mm-hmm.
Chris K, top eight.
Oh boy. I'm going to go with two companies, a Sultai Delirium.
Good call.
A black-white, I'm going to say like a black-white.
Ronson Big Card.
Ronson Big Card, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I know. I think, I don't know, I really don't know if an aggressive deck can sneak into this thing, but I think if it will, it's going to be a humans deck, so I'm just going to throw that pony into the race. And then I think ramp has a nice shot, and then I would love to see pet deck I want to see go in there is Spirits. I would like to see Spirits kind of rise above the rest and kind of take a slot. So that's what I'm looking at for my top eight.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's where hopefully the Pro Tour kind of pans out and gives us some new technology for Standard to take us away from our company Coco overlords.
I would like to see a shift. I think we're not alone in this.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of desperately awaiting the shift. And with that being said, regionals is this weekend.
Yes.
Where we will see some of the shift for those like lucky enough to be able to, you know, get cards right away from Pro Tour decks. So I'm heading down to represent for Ohio to Columbus for Star City Regionals, and I'm going to play a little bit of a spicy brew. I don't want to fall in rank with the banned companies, and I'm going to show up with some Sultai Delirium.
Is it similar to the second place deck from Columbus?
The Aliantrazi brew?
Yeah.
It is, but there's a little bit more focus on Delirium. It's actually, shout out to Todd Stevens. I was watching his stream last night, and he had this kind of really cool brew. It enticed me enough to want to jam it at regionals this weekend. And so, like, it enticed me enough that it made me, A, want to play Standard, and B, travel to regionals to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for that. It has some sweet interactions with like Haunted Dead and Amalgam, Prized Amalgam, along with Liliana and Ishkana and the Pariah, the flip sack boy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm excited to jam with it. And we'll see. Yeah, what I'm happy is that the powerful spells in the deck are 5 mana, so it gets around that spell Quella.
Yeah, it's a important place to be.
Definitely. So, with that being said, any kind of final thoughts on any other thoughts on the Standard metagame going into the Pro Tour?
I don't really. Like, I don't really know what's going to be good at all. So I'm, like, very much in, like, a wait-and-see mode. I have my Lilianas ready to go. I really want to be able to play with Best Girl in Standard, and we'll see if that pans out. I would also be really happy if somebody broke Olivia Mobilized for War. So pro players, if you're out there, hook a brother up, man.
You heard it here. What was the big scandal? Someone was going to pay a pro to play Seance in their deck to run the price up. Did you hear about that?
I don't know if it was like to run the price up on Seance. Is that the motivation for that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know there was like a prize to like, that's what a horrible card to speculate on. I thought it was like a joke because it's like if you top eight with that card, he'd pay you like an obscene amount of money because the card is just like so utterly trash and it could like basically never happen.
Yeah. It was a half joke, half speculation.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever panned out.
I tried to break that card. Every like line of text on that card just like shoots itself in the foot. It's like, I don't know.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, moving then away from Standard, kind of talk about Limited. I've been enjoying Eldritch Moon Limited so far. Brian, how about you?
Yeah, of what I've played, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I tried Blue-White Flyers, didn't go so well. Red-Blue was pretty good for me. I love Mr. Ping Yu on tap.
Yeah, that guy's nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great card.
Yeah, that's a hell of a card right there. Go on.
It's a nice refreshing shot in the arm after Innistrad for so long.
Yeah. I always feel that way. Yeah, so first impressions.
Innistrad was a very interesting and cool format. It was very deep and like complex, really. Like there was like your whole deck was based around like building like these sort of like miniature combos. Whereas Eldritch Moon, I think, is like much more of just like a straightforward limited format. Like having a curve is really important. Having like being able to build board presence is pretty very important. Tempo matters a lot. There's quite a few bombs. So I think if like you were sort of overwhelmed by Shadows, you'll probably be a little less so with Eldritch Moon. And it is a bit like it's refreshing. It's cool to see the format like change so much now that it's like two packs of the small set and you draft those first. It's cool that they were really able to like still have Shadows in the format, but really make the format play radically differently.
Mm-hmm. Brian, what about you? First impressions?
Yeah, I don't think that fact Kyle brought up at the end is appreciated enough on how drastically Wizards changed Limited. Like how much they have to design like to make two packs from a new set work with one pack from an old set, which is much harder than having like just the same two packs and then an additional pack, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good format. I've enjoyed what I've played of it. I haven't played any sealed because I don't know, sealed online is never as fun, right?
it's not, but it's infinity more convenient. So
that's very true. It's also probably better EV overall
compared to what, like Eli 4 pack sealed
compared to like really Swiss drafted.
Yeah.
Although I guess anything.
Yeah, so is like a slot machine.
Yeah, I don't know about calculating EV for playing anything on Moto, but
yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, what's your time and entertainment worth?
Well, yeah. It's not real dollars. Actually, Swiss Draft, I guess you actually just can't. Because in these newest Swiss Drafts, even if you 3-0'd, you just got three packs. So it's like you won negative
$2. Now they have the six Swiss Drafts.
Yeah.
6-2-2-2.
But now there's not even, like, sorry, but there's not even release events. So now it's just, like, just overpay for 3 days. Like, there's not even, like, the illusion of, like, imitating reality.
Right, yeah. Just, yeah. Can't put it better than that, overpaid 3 days. So, aside from hemorrhaging us and extorting us on Modo, the format seems to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that I'll miss from Shadows, and I've noticed, you know, obviously, you know, a large downtick in it was Investigate. I really loved Investigate.
Yeah, it was a very cool mechanic.
So I'm sad to see that go, but it was someone on Twitter, one of the developers or designers, and they said, you know, once you find the big tentacle monster, you followed all the clues.
Yeah, we could be done. Guys, there's an Emrakul right above our city. We're done investigating. I found it.
All right. Hey, everyone, stop and look up.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll kind of miss the most from Shadows is that investigate. I thought it was really cool getting that card flow going.
Yeah. I want to be like a big Vorthos bleeb real quick. I do really like the way... I really like the flavor of this set. It really, like, sort of played out like an H.P. Lovecraft story. Like, you've got, like, this sort of, like, noir, like, and, like, detective story.
Yeah, Jace
and,
like, Noir.
Jace Noir in the first set. I walked into her castle. The air was thick with smoke. It was, like, 10 miles of bad road. What are you doing here? What do you think I'm doing here?
Trying to get you to take our oath!
I'm not taking no oath. And don't you go meeting that vampire guy. It's bad news. Bad news is my middle name. I thought your middle name was Bellerin. Yeah, I know. I don't care.
Thanks, Brian. I'm sure all the Orthos listeners were screaming it.
It's just for me, guys. And the second set, you get like just full-on cosmic horror. So I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah, it hit home. It hit home for sure.
Yeah.
So, cool. What do you say about doing a draft?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, does that sound good, Brian?
Yep, I'm here. I'm ready.
I'm here. I can't not do it.
Can't leave.
He's here of his own free will, people.
Yep. Has to believe in free will. That's part of it.
Yeah, his philosophy wouldn't allow him otherwise. Yeah. So let's start it up. So what we're going to do here, you know, that we're not LSV and Marshall walking you through. This is Joe Everyman walking you through Draft of Eldritch Moon. So we're going to go through maybe about, oh, I'd say 4 picks. Does that sound agreeable?
Yeah, it's probably pretty good.
Just to get an idea of where we would start in this format. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of kick this off, and I'll go ahead and read off the pack.
Are we going to do like Marshall and Luis, where you say a comment and then we make a noise?
Yeah. If you guys want to, you know, I mean, imitation is the purest form of flattery, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, react however you would like.
Okay.
But so yeah, I'm going to go through. I'm going to read the cards in the pack, and I'm going to get your reactions to kind of each one as we go along and see where we end up at the end of this. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. All right. So let's start out here with our commons. So Displace, that's 2 and a blue. Exile up to 2 target creatures you control, then return those creatures to the battlefield under their owner's control. Instant, where are we landing on this?
Unplayable.
Brian?
It sounds unplayable.
Swift Spinner, we have 3 and a green. It's a 2/3 flash reach.
Fine. I hope I don't have to first pick it, but this is a fine card.
Yeah, green is definitely playable in this set, unlike other sets.
Yeah.
Dawngriff, 2 and a white, 2/2 flying.
It's fine. I'm not in love with white. I think white's fine, and this card in white is one of the better white commons. Not a card I would be excited to first pick, but I could see that happening.
If a common stands out to you, just say, like, ooh, you know, and go into it, but, you know, otherwise we can kind of fly past some of these. Waxing Moon, 1 and a green, instant, transform into 1 target werewolf you control, creatures control, grain, trample until the end of turn.
No comment.
Woodcutter's Grit, 2 and a green. Target creature you control gets +3/+3 against hexproof until the end of turn.
I got blown out by it once, but I'm not going to play it.
Borrowed Malevolence, black, escalate, 2. Target creature gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. Target creature is -1/-1 until the end of turn.
Pretty good.
I think that card's very good.
Would not cut it from a lot of black decks. I would be not super inclined to first pick it.
No. I mean, over the cards we've seen so far, I probably would take the Griff over it. That's about it.
Seconded.
Lunark Mantle. one and a white, enchant creature, aura. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has one sacrifice permanent. This creature gains flying until the end of turn.
In most sets, this card would be unplayable. In this format, it's usually unplayable, but it's not never playable.
Okay. Brian, similar feelings?
I think I saw that was in one of the top sealed decks at the Pro Tour. Or not the Pro Tour, the GP in Sydney.
I think it's markedly better in sealed. Because there's going to be less removal.
Cool, cool. Take inventory. One and a blue. Draw a card. Then draw cards equal to the number of cards. Name, take inventory in your graveyard. Sorcery.
If you're not in Spells Matter, this card's unplayable. If you're in Spells Matter, it's below average.
No comment.
And the last one, Stencia Banquet. 2 and a red. This is our foil. Stencia Banquet deals damage to target opponent equal to the number of vampires you control. Draw a card.
Dumpster Fire.
If you're drifting the Kylo special, maybe you can play it.
All right. All right, let's get to the real cards. Noose Constrictor. 1 and a green. Reach. Discard a card. Noose Constrictor gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. 2/2.
Good card. It's the pick so far.
Yeah, it's not Wild Mongrel, but it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spreading Flame. 6 and a red. Spreading Flame deals 6 damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures.
Bombed. It's the pick so far.
Yeah, I can agree with that. 7 seems like a lot, but in this format, there's so many creatures on the board. It just decides game.
It's an instant, too. Like, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Hamlet Captain, 1 and a green. Whenever Hamlet Captain attacks or blocks other humans you control, get +1/+1 until the end of turn. It's 2/2. Human Warrior.
Fine, but underwhelming.
Yeah, bear with some upside.
Yeah.
Cool. Spreading Flame still ahead. And then, last but not least.
There should be a double face card.
I was going to say. Yeah. Do you want the double face card, or do you want the... do you want the rare? They're both rares.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do the double face card, I guess.
All right. We have Hanwer Battlements. That's the land that taps for a colorless, or red and tap, target creature gains haste until the end of turn, and then 3 red-red. If you both own and control Hanwer Battlements and a creature named Hanwer Garrison, exile them, meld them into Hanwer the Writhing Township.
This card's pretty good. I wouldn't take it over Spreading Flames. I think Hanwer Garrison, the creature, is very, very good, and I think it's pretty close to Spreading Flames, but right now I'm still on Spreading Flames.
Brian?
I wouldn't take it. I mean, realistically, you're not going to be melding this, and while haste is good, I just don't see the need for it in this deck.
Not over Spreading Flames.
No.
And then last but not least, it's a goodie. might just waste all of our conversation here. So, Spirit of the Hunt. It's 1 green-green flash. When Spirit of the Hunt enters the battlefield, other creatures you control, that's a wolf or a werewolf, get +0/+3 until the end of turn. It's a 3/3.
This card's very good. I think I would still take Spreading Flames.
Wow.
It puts you... Double green, first pick, is a lot to ask. I would take it over Spreading Flames.
Go ahead.
I'm not completely sold on like the 7 drop over this very solid 3/3 creature.
I think this 3/3 almost asks like more of you than Spreading Flames. Spreading Flames is splashable. It's 7 mana for a single red. This card is double mana for double green for a card you really would like to be playing on or near turn 3. And if you don't have a bunch of wolves in your deck, it basically just is like 3/3 flash, which is very solid, but I don't think it's as good as Spreading Flames.
It's reasonable.
Alright, so we're going with Spreading Flames here? We'll say one for Spreading Flames, one for Wolf Hunt.
What do you think, Chris K?
Yeah.
I would go with the Wolf. I'm with Brian on this one.
Okay. I just got Aaron Bird.
Sir. I would take the powerful 3 drop over the 7 drop, just where we are there. So those are my feelings on it.
Alright.
I don't disagree with you that Spreading Flames is very good, though. So let's go with the Spirit of the Hunt, then.
Okay.
So pack 2. Alright. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Alright. We have Retchgriff. It's 7 mana, colorless. For, I'm sorry, generic. For a 3/4 flyer, when a when you cast Wretched Grip, draw a card. It has a merge 5 and a blue.
Premium blue common.
I agree. I've played this card in 2 of the 3 decks I've drafted. And it's just, it's so good.
It's a card you could realistically first pick.
I also was impressed with this in the draft that I did. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Especially going Byway Courier into Griff.
Hooga.
Hooga, indeed. Next, Borrowed Hostility, 1 red. Escalate 3 generic. Choose one or both. Target creature gets +3/+0 until the end of turn, and target creature gains first strike until the end of turn.
No. Like, probably not this early for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful combat trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine combat trick.
Swift Spinner, 3 and a green. Flash Reach. 2/3.
Yep, we talked about it. Not yet.
We did. Otherworldly Outburst. Target creature gets +1/+0 until the end of turn. When that creature dies his turn, put a 3/2 colorless Eldrazi horror token onto the battlefield.
I still don't know how good this card is. It might be better than I think.
That's how I feel. It just... There's something there. I don't know if I can bring myself to play it. Like, I should. Like, it seems good.
You can get this card, like, 11th.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's even playable.
Yeah, not taking a second here. Strange Augmentation. 1 black. Enchanted creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1. Delirium. Enchanted creature gets an initial +2/+2.
Yep. This card's bad.
Bold Impaler. Good old 1 red for a Vampire Knight. 2 and a red. Bold Impaler gets +2/+0 until the end of turn. It's a 1/2.
Cards like this are bad. No. Yes. It's like a 4 mana grizzly bear.
It's kindling for the dumpster fire.
Yeah.
It's not even the dumpster fire, it's kindling for it.
Into the trash it goes. I'm a big guy for you.
Certain Death, 5 and a black. Destroy target creature. Its controller loses 2 and you gain 2. Sorcery.
Premium black removal at common.
I can agree. The mana costs is again high, but this set seems to run a little high in the mana cost for premium removal.
Mm-hmm. I know there was a little bit of a backlash on like Reduced to Ashes and Throttle in Shadows. I know those were pretty unpopular among the likes of particularly Elspeth and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that changes here in Eldritch Moon.
I think one of the big differences is this straight up kills anything, whereas like those cards did not. And then also like differences in the format. And then it also has upside. Like the drain for 2 is not irrelevant.
That's a good point. Weirded Vampire, 3 and a black. Madness, 2 and a black. It's a 3/3 vampire.
If you're not in Madness, this is a bad card.
It's not perspicable.
It's 3/3 for 4. It's actively bad. There's a lot of ways to activate.
I've played 3/3 for 4.
Yeah, not happily, though.
What you got against Hill Giant, bro?
It's worse than Hill Giant. Like, it's Giant Octopus.
Why is it worse than Hill Giant?
Which one? Hill Giant's... Oh, wait, that is a Hill Giant, right?
Totally a Hill Giant.
I call that Giant Octopus. You can't stop me. It's also Giant Octopus, but it is Hill Giant. You're right.
All
right,
you went on technicality. Also Giant Octopus. Next, Boon of Emrakul. 2 and a black enchant creature. Gets +3/-3.
Great black common.
It's about a billion times better than the removal spell, even though that one's good. This card is insane.
Yeah, it fuels Delirium. It's 3 mana. It kills pretty much anything on the board when you're going to cast it. It's incredible and good.
I certainly like that. And then our flip card, we're looking at Graph Rats. That's going to be 1 in the black for a rat. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you both own and control Graph Rats, another meld card, and a creature named Midnight Scavengers, exile them and meld them into Chittering Hosts. It's a 2/1.
You absolutely would not take it here. If Midnight Scavengers is pretty excellent black common, if you have one or more Midnight Scavengers in your deck, I would happily play 1 Graph Rat. Maybe even like 2. Mm-hmm.
Next one here, Weaver of Lightning. Onto our uncommons. 2 and a red. Reach. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, Weaver of Lightning deals 1 damage to target creature and opponent controls. It's a 1/4.
Even if you're not in Spells Matter, this card's pretty excellent.
I do like this card.
Yeah, it's so close, but I think Boone's better.
It's close, I agree, but I think I would also go with Boone.
Mm-hmm. Next uncommon, Ride Down. It's an instant. White, red. Destroy target blocking creature. Creatures that were blocked by that creature this combat gain trample until the end of turn.
If you're in these colors, it's very good.
Yeah, great card in red, right?
I've never seen that card.
It's actually a reprint.
It is. It was in cons.
Oh. Never played that set.
Glad to have you with us, Brian. And then our last card, our rare. Pretty disappointing, except for the artwork. Yeah, Harmless Offering. 2 and a red, target opponent gains control, target permanent you control. Sorcery.
Completely unplayable.
Yeah, unless you have the amazing Bizarre Trader deck.
Alright.
I'm going to steal it, Chris K. I'm going to keep it.
Steal it, I keep it. I like it. I like sculpting a scenario where this works. Excellent. So what's your pick here?
I'm thinking Boone.
Yeah, it's gotta be Boone. I think it can be in any black deck. It's great.
Yeah, Boone over Certain Death here?
I'm, like, not positive that I'm right, but I'm pretty confident.
I think it's better than Certain Death, but I think it's closest to Lightning Reaver.
Lightning Reaver is also very good.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go with that holistic of picking the cheaper card here. I feel like I can get a Certain Death later.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So that's where we're going to go that. So in the interest of time, actually, we're going to go ahead and kind of end there. So we're looking at kind of a first pick Werewolf and then moving into maybe something green-black. So see where that kind of ends up, maybe like a green-black Delirium.
Yeah.
Do you want to do, I don't know. I don't know what we're at on time. If you want to just even, like, read the cards super fast on the next pack and then pick something, it's up to you.
All right, sure. One more to get an idea of where we're going to solidly end up.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So our third pack here, I'll just kind of go down the road. Graph Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Dawngriff.
Mm-hmm.
Turn Aside.
Mm-hmm.
Strange Augmentation. Mm-hmm. Wailing Ghoul. Mm-hmm. Borrowed Malevolence. Primal Druid, Drag Under, Boon of Emrakul, number 2, Repeal the Abominable, Mournwillow, and Courageous Outrider.
Who's that too?
Courageous Outrider is it's 3 and a white for a 3/4 human scout. When there is a battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a human card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest in your bottom of your library in any order.
I had that in Sealed yesterday. I think I cast it 5 or 6 times and maybe hit once or twice. But it's pretty good even if you don't hit, so it's like pretty much all upside. I would not feel bad at all about just taking the second Boon of Emrakul here.
Yeah, that seems like a great pick.
I think I can agree with that.
So we're definitely in black, maybe in green.
And then, this might tip the scales. I'll just read the cards here real quick. We'll end with our fourth pick here. We have Ironclad Slayer, which is 3/2, 2 and a white, and this goes very well with our boons. When Ironclad Slayer enters the battlefield, you may return target aura or equipment card from your graveyard to your hand. It's a 3/2.
Premium.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to butcher this name, Vilden Pack Outcast. That's the 4/4 for 4 and red. It's a werewolf horror. Trample, 1 red. The Pack Outcast gets +1/-1 until the end of turn, and then 5/2 red, transform it into a trample 5/7, 1 generic mana, +1/+0 until the end of turn.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but
yeah. Yeah, I think it's fine. It's a fine kind of finisher in red if you're there, if you need it. Mm-hmm. Skurzdag Supplicant, Convolute, Otherworldly Outburst, Waxing Moon, another Ironclad Slayer that is not foil. Woodcutter's Grit, Spectral Reserves, Lunark Mantle, and then Campaign of Vengeance.
I think it's the Slayer, and I don't think it's particularly close with anything else in this pack.
I can agree.
Yeah. I think the fact that there's 2 Slayers here is also like a pretty okay signal. I mean, it's only 4th pick,
mm-hmm.
and the rare is like gone. And I think you read 3 rare uncommons?
Rare and 2 uncommons are gone.
Okay. So it's not like a very hard signal, but it was something that would definitely not make me feel bad about taking one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly like that pick there. I'm on board with it.
Yeah, the card's It just plays so well with a lot of the removal in both black and white. Looking at you, pacifism that you can exile. That combo is just so powerful. Yeah. Especially because you can do it at instant speed. It's just like, oh, I have extra mana. I'll just set myself up for success with my Schlayer.
I agree. I think that's cool. So we're kind of abandoning our, you know, don't get married to your first pick. So yep. Kind of moving away from green there, and that's A-okay. So that's where we're going to end up on that. I think that was a pretty cool little dive into Eldritch Moon there. And from there, let's move on to our What's the Play for the Week. So our What's the Play is where listeners can send in questions that they may have, general questions, just about Magic the Gathering, and in particular Magic tournaments, and kind of there's a lot of disconnect, and there's a lot of things that maybe newer players aren't maybe so aware of, just kind of coming to the game. And Kyle and I and Brian have been to, you know, a number of tournaments. Kyle and I have been going to them for years and years on end now.
Brian's been to at least like 3 or 4.
Right, exactly. And so we feel qualified to kind of help some new players maybe get a foothold in upping their level of play in a manner of speaking. So this comes to us from our listener, Jay. So Jay writes, I'm a slave for a cool deck. Themes are always my favorite things about making a deck. Is there a way for me to stay original and be competitive? Or am I doomed to see what's strongest and just play and brew around that? Please make this make sense. Thanks.
I like his qualifier. I think that's very tough. Like, I don't know. I like playing decks that are, like, different and cool, but not as, like, it's sort of miserable when you play decks like that and then just, like, go, like, 2 and 3. I think that a lot of players' problems, if they're trying to be competitive, is they try too hard to be original, because really, like, there's no match points for originality, quite frankly. Yeah. Like, usually it's really just better if you don't.
Yeah, no style points, right?
Right. And, like, especially if you're, like, a newer player, I would really strongly recommend that you take yourself out of your deck as much as possible, because you're bad. And, like, inserting yourself into, like, a good list is almost certainly making it worse. And, like, that's true of, like, any list that you get from, like, a player who you know is better than you. Even if you're a good player. Like, if I pick up a list from, like, an LSV, if I were to start just, like, right away making changes to it, the odds that I'm making it worse are just so high. Like, they're overnight. They're basically 100%.
That's the thing. It's tough because you want to feel like you have some engagement with this part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know building decks is a really fun part of the game.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, this question, it's all about, honestly, how you want to engage with the game.
Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want out of the game in a lot of ways? And I don't even want to say if I want to call it unfortunate, but the unfortunate reality of kind of tournament Magic is that things float to the top. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a natural part of gameplay, is when, you know, there are heavy top weighted economic incentives to be at the top, people are going to kind of sift through the rest of the garbage way faster than you did, because they're economically incentivized to do so for the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times you're just kind of better off following their lead, if that's how you want to engage with it, if you want to engage with tournament Magic that way, like an Open or a Grand Prix. Now, FNMs, I mean, you know, all bets are off there. Like, that's a great place to bring a brew.
Yeah, and you can certainly be competitive with a brew or with, like, a weird deck. Like, if you play it well at FNM, you know, for one thing, you might just, like, win straight up, because the competition is not going to be that stiff, but you could at least, like, you know, show your stuff. You could show, like, hey, look at this cool idea I came up with, and have, like, an interesting experience with some cool people, and it's, like, a good way to meet people. Like, you automatically have, like, a talking point, like, you know, I came up with this brew, what do you think, do you want to play some games with it, or maybe they would help or give suggestions and stuff like that. Like, if so, your goal is to, like, go to F&M and socialize and try and get better at the game, I mean, you can absolutely brew.
Yeah, and I think that's the main point, honestly, for this question is how you're looking to engage with the game at higher profile tournaments, Grand Prix and Opens. At least for me, you know, there's a cost associated with going to those things. Mm-hmm. Usually around the tune of $50, I think, now for Opens, and who knows with Grand Prix, because tournament organizers are not regulated and it's all a bunch of bullshit, but that's for another day.
Yeah.
But there is a cost associated with going to these things. And so I feel like if I'm bringing a brew, which, I mean, let's be honest, even if I wanted to dedicate all of my free time to it, in between all of my other interests and friends and family, like, I'm probably only dedicating maybe 20 hours if I cut out everything else to getting this brew right. And I don't know, I'd rather, since I'm, you know, putting out that cost, I'd rather have something that has already had the man hours behind it, and I can just kind of rely on my, you know, X amount of years of experience now to kind of carry me through, and don't have to worry about the brewing process as much as, like, just playing tight process. So, Brian, what are your feelings?
I can agree with that. And as someone who doesn't play a lot of tournament Magic at all, one of the things I would say is if you want to do something that makes you feel better, like, about the type of deck you're playing, I would almost focus more on, like, an archetype that you prefer rather than, like, a deck that you prefer. Like, I like playing aggro decks, and in different formats there are a variety of aggro decks I can choose from. So if I'm going into a new format, I'm not going to build my own deck, but I'm going to play something that beats down, that burns face, that does something that I have fun doing. Like, we're not saying that you should jump into a format if you want to be competitive and just, like, grab the hardest control deck you can find if you don't want to play control.
It has worked out well for me in the past.
I mean, if you do like to play control, there's options for you as well. I used to love Block Constructed on Modo.
Same, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a great, great place for brews or for just playing Magic in a semi-casual manner, but also still very
competitive. I have a sick brew for this block format, if only it was a thing. I was telling Chris K about this. Okay, so you play like a mono-green creature-based deck, right? And then your combo is Briarbridge Patrol. Do you remember what that card does? Three and a green for a 3/3. Whenever it deals damage to one or more creatures, investigate. And then at the beginning of your end step, if you sacrifice three or more clues, you can put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. And then you use turn 5, you play Tamio's Journal, which at the beginning of your upkeep, you investigate. And you can tap, sac three clues, search your library for a card, and put that into your hand. So you go Tamio's Journal, tap, search your deck for Emrakul. At your end step, your Briarbridge Patrol triggers, put Emrakul into play, go.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's dope.
That's about the reaction that's appropriate.
Yeah. If only Block was a format, I would run that out.
I hope that helped answer your question, Jay.
You can play that deck, Jay. I think that deck would be pretty sweet. And you have, like, way more tools because you can use all of standards. So, like, you can add your own twist to that. Just don't screw it up too much.
Awesome. So I think we helped out Jay.
I think we gave him a lot of perspectives.
Yeah, I think there's something there. You know, and then there's always the Kyle Lewis approach of I had fun once and hated it, so I'm playing mono white, not change a card. One.
I think it was, I was validated in that. What's his name played the exact same list I did.
You're right, you're totally right.
Yeah, the boss.
You're right.
If they printed more good one drops, I would have played them. I'm not going to make my deck worse because I'm a special snowflake. That's what I have to say to that question.
Just giving you a good old fashioned ribbing, that's all.
I understand. And I'm right there with you. I came to game.
In the game, get out of the way. Cute Emrakul Delirium deck, get out of the way.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Thank you for sending in that question. We really do appreciate that. We'll let all the listeners know where you can send your questions to at the end of the show. As with every show, one of the things that we want to try and accomplish with this podcast is to tell kind of stories that we feel would get lost to the ages of the Magic players of the Ohio and Midwest communities. You know, we have quite the eclectic group of players out here. And we get into, we have a lot of great memories and get into a lot of, you know, kooky, wacky situations. And we feel like it's a shame that those stories go untold. Well, guess what? Not anymore. That's why it's story time here on Midwest Magic. So I hear we have kind of a special treat this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stories that come out of Origins. You know, we talked about Mike. You know, there was the time that I wore like a suit and had to ask somebody in the parking lot to help me tie my tie because I didn't know how.
It was very good.
Yeah, it was we all have fun here. So since Brian's on the podcast, I'm going to tell a story about, was this your first time going to Origins, Brian?
Yep.
And was this your first PTQ also?
It was my first tournament of physical magic of any kind.
And I believe you were playing Black Red Blightning.
Yeah, it's Black Red Demigod Lightning.
Yeah. I was playing Blue-White Revlark without Cryptic Commands. My combo was Meddling Mage, naming Cryptic Command, hold up Cancel. It was very good.
Actually, I wasn't playing Black Red Lightning.
No, this was before that?
I wanted to play Black Red Lightning, but I borrowed Chris K's Jund deck before Jund was a good deck.
Okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You were playing Black Red Lightning like at the time. In the JCU meta.
You wanted to play Black Red Blightning because of his position in the meta, right?
it was well positioned in the meta that Brian played. So Brian sits down for his second match.
This is round three. I was 2-0 at this point.
2-0 at this point. You have no sideboard, is that correct?
I can't remember one, so let's go with that.
I don't think you had a sideboard. And you've got these like dirty, sticky, left like used sleeves from Chris K.
Yep.
Didn't get new ones because college dollars.
Well, and also the badge, like you had to buy a badge too, and pay for the tournament, like, and I have to buy sleeves. Come on.
No, overpriced.
No way.
So sits down to your match, third match against local Ohio player Cedric Phillips. Cedric's first question to you, Brian, was
because that's his claim to fame now.
Let's mention
local
this
Ohio player.
This was in around 2008, 2009. It was a long time ago.
It was before Cedric got like to the big time. I remember when Cedric was just a tournament grinder.
Yeah,
hitting up the Columbus PTQs, just going deep.
Play down at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
So what was your question to me?
What was Cedric's first question when you sat down to play a match?
I don't remember.
Did you go to pile shuffle your deck, right?
I pile shuffle my deck, and he's watching me.
Right.
Because he's faster at shuffling than me. Because, I don't know, you see me shuffle now, can you imagine me shuffling for the first time?
Yeah, you're pretty garbage.
Did so time like, stand still?
So he's watching me shuffle. I'm very nervous. I get a lot of anxiety when I play Magic. So I'm just like, they're shaking, shuffling. And then we get exchange decks. I cut his deck, and then he pile shuffles my deck. Aggressively pile shuffles. And then he counts 59 cards.
Mm.
And he's like, judge.
Yeah.
In a very loud manner. Yeah. Just like raises his hand. And this kid next to him is like, come on, Cedric, give him a break.
No.
And it's like, there's no breaks here. This is a PTQ. So the judge comes over. I get a game loss. I must have had a sideboard, because I had 60 cards after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was in that sideboard.
There might have been, like, more than one mountain.
Wasn't there the... I swear I remember the phrase, let me count your sideboard.
That was when you played against Wesco, right? Was that a thing? Am I totally misremembering this?
I didn't play against Grave Mascot.
Never mind.
Maybe it was him? I don't know.
This might have been... I feel like this is... I remember this story.
It might have been someone else. I don't
know. All right, I'm sorry.
I think you might have gone to a totally different tournament and gotten a game loss for not having... for, like, missing cards in your sideboard. But I could be totally wrong.
It's very possible. Either way, I got a game loss. I did get to game three.
All right, good on you.
All right, yeah.
Got game two.
Versus Kithian White Weenie, the claim to fame of Cedric Phillips.
Yeah, his best deck by far.
Actually, never mind. It was black-white tokens at this point.
Oh, okay. Subway Fair was what
they called. They all kind of just blend together from that time period.
Yeah, they were all pretty focused on playing a lot of small creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Inglorious Anthems.
It was a great introduction to competitive Magic for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. So I just love the stone cold, just the stone pile shuffle. Like, I don't know a single human being that would do that now. Like, I would be flabbergasted if someone just pile shuffled my deck.
I just look like a shady guy.
yeah.
It gives new meaning to that, like, Mishra's Photoshop, like, wasting time cheating split card.
Right. Yeah, shout out to Mishra's Photoshop. Go check that out.
He's on the advisory board now for TGO. Did you read that? It's so sick.
That story's a lesson, kids. It can't really go much worse for you than that. just get out there and play tournament.
Get
out there, kids. I guess one actionable thing to do from this is just pile shuffle your own deck before your opponent can. Or you present.
Bring at least 60 cards. We'll see. Bring 60 cards. Best lesson, bring 60 of them.
I still don't know how there wasn't 60 then. But, hey. The next round, I got new sleeves, and I had to resleeve my deck, because the judge told me to. And then I lost, like, two in a row, and we all scrubbed out.
That's pretty savage. The game loss, by the way, buy new sleeves. That's insult to injury in a major way.
And then you do, and it just doesn't matter.
Well, Origins is great.
Yeah.
You went on to get your vengeance on Origins, though. I remember when you beat that 8-year-old playing Shunned, and you won that foil set of M-Tech.
Oh, yeah, that was sick.
Yeah, that was so good.
Shunmere.
Yeah.
You got yours from Origins.
Yeah, you did.
I'm so happy that we had you on so we could hear that story today.
That's a good
story. I want to thank Brian for being on the show today with us. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
It was lovely having you with us.
I want to thank Marco and his band, Green Jeans, for the use of our theme song, Weirdos, Dumb and in Love, off the album Cave Demos. Check out them at greenjeans.bandcamp.com. They're in Columbus, Ohio. They do shows.
Wowee. Go check them out. See your local music scene.
I'm on their band camp. Axl Rose is in their band.
The Axl Rose or just some guy named Axl Rose?
I see the name Axl Rose in the band members, so who knows?
Definitely could be.
Dave? There's a Dave here. Could that be Dave Matthews? Colin? Could that be Phil Collins?
Certainly.
Johnny? Could that be John Cage? Classical composer John Cage?
It's a stretch, but it could be. Go see him to find out.
Yeah.
Kyle, where can they find you on social media?
You can still find me, for the time being, on Twitter at SupFaust. I encourage you to check out my Magic the Gathering articles at puremtgo.com. I did a video article this week, so I might be posting more Magic the Gathering videos on my YouTube channel. I don't have that set up properly yet, so find it by going to my most recent puremtgo article. If I do more with it, I'll tell you about it in the podcast.
Dropping the ball, that's okay.
Yep.
And, Brian, do you want to tell anyone where they can find you on social media?
Not particularly. You can find me on Modo at Mythmaster.
Ooh, I like that. With a three, that's important. I like that. That's why I asked. And you can find me over at Twitter as well. I'm at Tilted Musings over there, and that's also my Twitch channel, at Tilted_Musings. So, with that... For Kyle Lewis and Brian McCall,
I will say that puts a bow on this episode. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We had a lot of fun doing our first kind of draft, and obviously with our story time and everything like that. Hope everyone has a good Pro Tour weekend. Looking forward to seeing some brews. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Stay magical.
Bye.
Savage. Tom.